Welcome to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. We are back. We have new MCU content. We love when there's brand new MCU content. We've got a full panel tonight. Let's start in the top right corner from the Nerdy Girls After Dark. Galen, did you wear that shirt on purpose today?
I kind of did, and we will discuss why.
We will. Welcome to the show, Galen. It's been a little while. It's good to have you back.
It has been. I was thinking, I don't know if I've been on since the first Miss Marvel episode.
This is my olive branch to the Nerdy Girls After Dark after what they did on that 90s TV or movie bracket. The amount of movies left off, it is what it is. Like, but overall, what was it? Space Jam beat Jurassic Park?
No, Mulan. Jurassic.
Well, Mulan beat Mulan. Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Jurassic Park barely beat Space Jam, which I love Space Jam. I voted against it like three times before it even. Anyway.
There are some hard choices.
It's bringing back memories. Robert, for the first time in quite a while, Robert, it is great to have you. Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
And down in the bottom right corner, you know him from Earth's Mightiest Minute. It's not that Kevin has been slacking on the Earth's Mightiest Minute. It has been, there hasn't been a lot of news, and he's asked if he should do something, and I tell him, it's all good. So, Kevin, you are officially off the hook in a public manner.
I thank you for, I try, it's definitely in the next couple of weeks as we're leading up to Disney Plus Day and D23 Expo, I'm sure we'll get some stuff and hopefully, but if we have enough to populate a minute, we'll have them back. But if not, then you're not missing out on any sort of news. We'll try and keep you informed or might throw an Instagram story up here or there if necessary.
When there is news, it will be there, and we'll make sure that we have you covered. Let's check in with the comments real quick. Maya is here. She's excited to see Rob. And then she felt bad and said, hey, kids. Uh-oh, Jalen.
Oh, Matt is
here.
Uh-oh.
Matt is here most weeks, but Matt is specifically active whenever Jalen's on the show.
We'll try not to fight the show.
And Alex is here as well. Just a little bit of news. Spider-Man No Way Home getting re-released in theaters with the More Fun Edition. Is that what it's called? The
More Fun Stuff, I think.
More Fun Stuff, yeah. That is getting released on September 2nd. 11 minutes of what they're claiming is never-before-seen footage. I'm sure it's mostly just deleted scenes and stuff like that. They didn't add, like, an ending or anything like that. They did say there's a couple of alternate scenes, but nothing too like earth-shattering, I don't think, but that movie's awesome. And I mean, if you go see it, you can support Marvel Studios, but you're supporting Sony at the same time. So, I mean, it is what it is. Nothing else really beyond that, though. So,
Disney Plus Day stuff. We got Thor coming.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Disney Plus Day, September 8th is a Thursday. She-Hulk episode 4 will drop that day. That is the first day of D23 out in Anaheim. Tune in to our friends over at Chip and Company Podcast. Mark, who used to be a resident weirdo with us, is going to be out there covering everything from a Disney Plus Chip and Company standpoint, so you can stay close to them for any of the news. We'll have all the Marvel stuff covered here the following Monday as well. There's rumors out there of what they're going to be talking about, but it's nothing that we hadn't already speculated, so it could just be somebody making an educated guess more than anything. But Thor: Love and Thunder will hit Disney Plus on Disney Plus Day, which is Thursday, September 8th, which is
the assembled episode
for Thor: Love and Thunder will drop that same day as well, amongst many, many other things. It's been a few weeks, but we now have new content, and he is back. It's The World According to Jax. Hello, Jackson.
Hi, Dad.
How's it going?
Good.
It's been a few weeks since you've been here. What you been up to?
Not a lot.
School started back up?
Yeah.
Like school?
Yeah.
What is your favorite subject in school?
Science.
Nerd. Yeah. All right. Jax, you're wearing a Jurassic Park shirt. What's a better movie, Jurassic Park or Mulan, the cartoon Mulan?
I like Jurassic
Park. Yeah, I thought that would be the answer because I'm raising my children correctly. All right, Jax, well, we got into it. I think the last time you were here, you didn't talk a ton of Miss Marvel with us. Did you like Miss Marvel?
Yes,
you did. Okay. And you liked Thor: Love and Thunder?
Yeah.
Okay. And She-Hulk, we are one episode in. What was your favorite part of She-Hulk?
I don't know.
You like Bruce Banner, right? Yeah, you like seeing Iron Man's helmet and all the Tony Stark references?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got into a fight with She-Hulk, do you think you could win? No, definitely not, right? All right. What do you expect to see from She-Hulk? Did you like it?
Yes.
Let's start with that. Okay. We kind of talked about this ahead of time. You seem to be forgetting a few things. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anything else before we move on? All right. Sounds good. Thanks, man. All right.
You could beat Tatiana, though.
I should have asked him, could he beat Titania? Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Titania, you could beat her.
He's a little bit out of practice. He was laying on the couch listening to his audiobook, which, yes, if you listen to an audiobook, you're still reading. Alex, come on. Let us know in the comments if you agree. If you listen to an audiobook, can you say you read that book?
No.
Jalen says no. Kevin? Oh, no. Kevin froze.
Robin.
Yes.
You want to put me on them, so yes, I've listened to audiobooks.
Yes. All right. Justin's a vote for audiobooks. If you listen to an audiobook, I'm going to take Kevin down. I feel like that spot he's stuck in is a little unfair. If you listen to an audiobook, you can say you've read the book. I think that that is more than fair.
Thank you.
I love reading this podcast, says Alex. Kara is here as well. I apologize. Jax, we had him kind of prepped and ready. It had been a little bit, so we kind of had him prepped and ready. Then he fell asleep on the couch right before he came on. But anyway, welcome back. So we'll get Kevin back here in just a minute, but let's get into talking about She-Hulk. Robert, what are your original impressions, or what are your first impressions of She-Hulk Attorney at Law? Do you like the show? Where do you stand on it so far?
No, I like it. It's fun. I thought it would, you know, it made some good points. Like, it explains why she's so much better at being the Hulk right off the bat, and I'm here for it. So it's funny, and you know, the CG looks a lot better than people thought it was going to be. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, people got really worked up about the CG on the first trailer. Now, if I'm Marvel, why did I put out a trailer that didn't have finished CG in it? Like, why wouldn't but I don't work in that world, and there's a lot of news coming out of that world when it comes to the visual effects that I'm not going to judge anybody for unfinished visual effects. But if I'm Marvel, like I think I would want the trailer to be as close to finished as I can, unless you want to lower expectations. Cause now when you see it, like, it's not perfect right now, but it's better than what it was. So maybe that's what they're looking for. I don't know there. Jalen, how about you? What are your first impressions of this show? Where does it rank among kind of premiere episodes for you?
I really liked it. This was my most anticipated show for this year. So I was really looking forward to it, and it definitely held my expectations. It was super funny. I loved all like the callbacks, you know, Tony, Steve, the helmets, you know, just a past Marvel stuff. I feel like we haven't really gotten that in shows this year. This one, I'll have to watch them back to back, but Miss Marvel might still be my favorite open episode, but this one's right up there. They could just be tied. I'll have to watch Miss Marvel again.
I would say after Moon Knight was fairly disassociated with, I guess the entire show was about disassociation, but was not really part of the MCU kind of sacred timeline near as much as other things. Miss Marvel had a lot of things that tied it back to the MCU. This one obviously did as well with the inclusion of Bruce Banner, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute. I think they made the brilliant choice of moving episode 8 all the way up to moving to episode 1. So we weren't sticking with the normal MCU Disney Plus formula, for lack of a better term. I think it was really important to get people bought in by seeing Bruce Banner in this first episode. Kevin, what are your first impressions of this show?
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was great. Like you said, I thought it was going in knowing ahead of time from the interviews that, like you said, that they've said this was originally like pretty much the majority of this episode was episode 8. It's like, I'm glad we got this now. Cause even though I'm somebody who I'm very familiar with the character from the comics and whatnot, you know, it still was good to we see Jen, we see why she's She-Hulk, and like, okay, we got that established. Now we can just go on and have the fun lawyer show, you know, like, as she whispers to the camera, which is always great. So I enjoyed it. And I think if we're ranking, I think I might like Miss Marvel's a little bit more. I think I need more of these episodes to like, be like, oh, I'm like really, really loving this. As like Jalen said, this was my most anticipated series for this year. So, but I thought Miss Marvel just like hit it because Miss Marvel took me more by surprise, I would say, because I wasn't anticipating enjoying that as much as I ended up liking it. So, I think I need 2, 3, and 4 to like really get me into this world and enjoying it to make it. It's not bad by any means, but I think it didn't hit that bar that Miss Marvel hit like right out the gate, I think.
Mama Kane is in the comments. Thank you for coming, Kim. It's a pleasure to see you, Mama Kane, as I refer to her. I've met Kim. She's wonderful. She is the mother of Maya, who is one of our Nerdy Girls After Dark, who will, I'm sure, come on at some point in the near future to talk about She-Hulk as well. I'm going to be honest. I think of the premiere episodes, this is probably my least favorite of the three, only because I think Miss Marvel, again, to your point, Kevin, I think it blew expectations out of the water, which is a big part of it. That premiere episode of Moon Knight is really, really good. I really love that premiere episode of Moon Knight. I have a much higher opinion on Moon Knight than most people as time goes. As time goes on, I think some people, and it's kind of been that way with a lot of these MCU shows, is people look back on it and they don't have as fond of memories as they did. They don't remember how good it was while it was going. I don't like what's happening to Moon Knight right now, where everybody's kind of forgetting about it, because I really like that show. But I really, really like Hawkeye. I really, really like a lot of these shows. Just not What If, or Falcon Winter Soldier. Sorry, Jalen.
Okay.
I had to take that shot. I apologize. But I agree to say this is my least favorite of the three we've gotten this year is not a detriment to this show. It's just how much I like the premiere episodes of the other two shows. I think this made the brilliant choice of moving that backstory episode all the way from episode 8 all the way up to episode 1. We start right off with Jen giving her closing argument to Nikki, played by Gonzalez is her last name.
Ginger Gonzalez.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Nikki's great.
Ginger Gonzaga, I think.
You're right. I'm sorry. Yep. She's been great so far. She's funny. I think we're going to get a lot more from her from what we've seen with the trailers as well. But then we go right into it of we set the expectation of why she's a Hulk, but we also break the fourth wall immediately. Jalen, mm-hmm. Does breaking the fourth wall work for you? Are you a Deadpool fan? Because that's kind of where in a Marvel universe, this is where kind of we've seen it before a little bit, but it's not MCU. This is the first time we're doing quite this.
Yeah. I've actually only seen the first Deadpool. I have not seen the second one. I liked it. I thought it was funny. I like shows, movies that break the fourth wall. They're always entertaining. Fleabag's one of my favorite shows, and they do that a lot. And I like how in this show that they break it, and it's not like an interview. So it's not like Modern Family where they're like sitting on the couch.
Yeah, mockumentary
like
style.
Yeah. They're actually talking to you as like the show's progressing. So I like that. I'm a fan of it. I think it's fun. I think more shows should do it because it is a lot of fun.
It's different for sure. I will say that the internet comments have been out of control saying everybody's just ripping off Fleabag. Read a She-Hulk comic book all the way back to She-Hulk 1 from like forever ago. 89. And 89.
Sensational.
And by the way, Kevin, thank you to you, Alex, and Ryan for filling in for me last week. I appreciate that. Robert, how about breaking the fourth wall? Does it work for you?
Just fine. I'm not like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's okay.
All right. Fair enough. Kevin, works for you?
Yeah, I mean, it does because like you said, it's part of her character from that was established in the comics. And it's part of the, as we mentioned a little bit last week, she did it before Deadpool. And obviously before Fleabag, you know, but the creators of the show have looked to Fleabag because that's a more modern interpretation or use of the medium and or device, I should say. And I'm excited for the conversation she's going to have. And then I hope they get weird with it and that they do some things. I mean, I don't know if this will happen. I feel like there was a rumor way back when that it'll show Jen like talking to Kevin Feige, like off, like something's going to happen and it'll like break. And then like we see Kevin Feige and he'll be playing him. I don't know if that'll happen. Don't quote me on that. Don't get any expectations if it happens, but be surprised if it happens. But that'd like, that's fun. The type of that would be fun. Like that's the but type of thing that could happen. If it
doesn't happen, yell at Kevin.
Exactly. Yell at Kevin. Yeah. But it that's also something to come Deadpool. Like Deadpool could do that too. And that would work as well. I feel like that would actually be a better thing. Cause I mean, Kevin Feige, I feel like he's game on all these jokes and things like that. And, I feel like, well, at least especially with Deadpool, with the rights coming from Fox, like I feel that would be perfect for just Deadpool and Kevin Feige just have like a conversation like in the universe, you know, and that would be great. But if it happens in She-Hulk, that'd be fun too. But long story short, I am enjoying the fourth wall stuff.
Yeah. If Kevin shows up on screen, like the Deadpool one would make sense. This podcast is not about Deadpool whatsoever. When we talk about how he's going to come up. But like the thing I saw about Deadpool is, it would have been great if we had a post-credit scene in Endgame where he runs onto the battlefield and guys, sorry, I'm late. That murder took forever. Like that would have been funny. But
that could be the Deadpool 3. That could be the Deadpool 3 mid-credits or something like that. Could be that one or something.
That's true. Deadpool 3. We know it's coming at some point. I think you're right. I think Kevin Feige would be willing to play ball. That would be interesting. I don't know if he's going to show up in this show. But the thing I like about the fourth wall is I think, other than WandaVision, which obviously was playing in the television medium and playing off of that, it feels like everything else could have just been a longer form movie. It does break up episodically, but this one feels, because of the fourth wall breaking, it makes it feel more like a television show. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, that's kind of where I'm at, is everything else feels like it could have just been a longer movie. Obviously, there was good breaks to make a television show. Cliffhangers and stuff like that, but this one gives it a different feel to it, and I really like it. Her whispering lawyer show obviously helps that. I do hope we do spend a little time in the courtroom. Kevin Feige said when he talked about this at the original Disney Investor Day that it's you never know who's gonna show up. So I mean, we know Daredevil's in this show. I would very much assume Matt Murdock to be in this show as some sort of lawyer. So who's he going to be representing? I don't know what to expect, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think getting into the weird aspects of superhero law is going to be fun. So we go all the way back. We go back into that timeline. It's no longer episode 8. I think it's a great choice. Jalen, have you ever eaten Cheetos with chopsticks?
No, but that's very smart. I also don't really know how to use chopsticks, so now I feel like I need to learn so I can use them like, with Cheetos.
I feel like that's living genius. I feel like living in Nebraska, like you're not the only one that doesn't know how to use chopsticks. No. Like that could just be me profiling or stereotyping.
But. I mean, it's true. Not a lot of people do. A lot of, if you go to like a restaurant that has them, they have like the kiddie. What the tool to like help you
the training wheels.
I'm like, just give me a fork. That's easier.
Something tells me that Robert knows his way around some chopsticks.
Yeah, I tried it as soon as I watched it.
Trying to avoid your fingers, huh?
Yeah.
Especially those flaming hot Cheetos that they're eating. Those have a lot more Cheeto dust. They're pretty intense. Mm-hmm. Kevin, there is something to this Cheeto game. Can you explain what's going on here?
Yeah, so I didn't know about this, but when I was reading some of the reviews of the episodes, some of the review sites were saying, oh, this is like they're totally like doing an homage to Oscar Isaac. And I'm like, what is this? And so if you Google Oscar Isaac Cheetos, you get this photo of him. I think it's like 2016, 2017, 2018, somewhere around there.
This is like Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah. So the look is he was on some TV show, I think. So if you look at, he was talking to Jimmy Kimmel about this. So that's how I learned more of the context. And he's like, he has medicine on the table there because I guess he's sick. And then he's holding their flaming hot lime Cheetos. and he's using the chopsticks. And apparently this photo went out and then people started like cosplaying and like memeing it or whatever. And so I definitely think the writers knew about this and were like, oh, we're going to have them do this in the car and later at the bar.
Alex confirming he's as weird as we all knew. He used to eat Cheetos with gloves. He says he usually eats Cheetos with a fork or chopsticks. So apparently the chopsticks thing was already something Alex was aware of. I'm going to give you guys my gift to the world. When you're eating Oreos, take a fork and the Oreo and stick the fork in the cream, and then you can dip it in the milk without
getting done that before. Fingers.
That I love. So I do like that one, but it's genius. It's smart. We break away from comic book origins, where I really actually like, they explain how Bruce is Bruce in the Shang-Chi post-credit scene. He's got this device on his arm. Kevin did it for us, but if you need to, you can go back and watch the Shang-Chi post-credit scene. He's got this massive device on his arm that none of us paid attention to whatsoever. But it turns out that this clearly takes place because the device gets broken. So the Shang-Chi post-credit scene takes place before this car ride. It's broken up by a Sakaar ship of some sort. Hulk only says he's got to figure it out. Robert, do you have any theories on what this Sakaar ship was doing coming to Earth?
Probably some Maury Povich stuff. I mean, Alex, Kevin, you probably know. I forget his son's name, but they're like,
it's,
hey, man, you like got a kid out there.
It's like Scar. It's like Sakaar.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like Scar.
You are the father, you know.
Hulk has a kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Maury Povich.
Stuff. Yeah. Well,
he was on Sakaar for a couple of years. I suppose anything's possible.
Right. And time also works differently there. So since he's left, it could be a little bit more time.
See, that I didn't think about that as a good thought because he's got like a 5-year-old or something out there then. But
there it is. Yep, Scar. Yep, son of Hulk.
There you go, Alex. Appreciate it.
Isn't Scar also the brother of Mufasa?
I think it's spelled different, though.
Yeah, I think it's got two A's, I think. It's like Sakaar, but Scar.
Well, no, I think it's Scar is S-C-A-R, I think.
That's you, yeah.
Anyway, that was my attempt at humor. Lion was eliminated from the 90s bracket much too early. All right, that's interesting. That's not something I ever considered, but I suppose it gives a whole new meaning to when Tony says something about hiding the zucchini.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can. I think it's definitely a big hint. There's been rumors that they're actually finally going to do World War Hulk, that storyline. And so I think that's I saw again another interview from Kat Coiro, the director. She said in a later episode, Bruce will see more of his reaction to it. And then it also is a tease to future stuff, much like what Abomination was in Shang-Chi. So I think it's definitely leading towards something Hulk project, but again, where will that fit in the timeline of what we've seen for announced projects? So who knows?
Kara brings up a good point. Where did the ship go? It just scared them and left. Like, clearly the ship didn't have like bad intentions. It didn't look like it was, I guess it kind of cut them off in traffic, but maybe it just, I don't know. It's like a deer. It just doesn't know what it's doing. The ship just bailed. Like, oh, my bad. Like, I'll come back. Like that kid that turns the corner in the GIF and like runs away. Just, oh. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we changed the origin. In the comic book origin, she's dying and Hulk or Bruce basically is the only one that can donate blood and knows that this could potentially happen this time. I actually really like how they told this story. Alex says that Rob and he covered World War Hulk comics on Comics and Cinema. So definitely tune into that episode. Alex, if you could drop what episode number or date range of that episode, that'd be great. So we can go back and catch it. World War Hulk, let's stick with that for a minute, Kevin. Would you assume that that's going to be She-Hulk, Hulk, potentially Hulk's kid? Apparently that's a thing.
Yeah. It could introduce Amadeus Cho. He's another Hulk. He became the Totally Awesome Hulk for a while.
We met his mother, correct? Mother is Helen Cho in Ultron.
We think so. Maybe. Yes. I mean, that's not really super clear, but they could, if they wanted to. And then we could bring in the Red Hulks, the Red She-Hulk, which was Thaddeus Ross, but I think there's somebody else is taking up that. Has used that in the past, so yeah, there's a lot of Hulks from the comics that we have yet to see in the MCU that can definitely populate a World War Hulk.
Because it does feel like Planet Hulk's kind of off the table after Ragnarok. That was kind of a Planet Hulk and Ragnarok combination. So
right.
World War Hulk would make a lot of sense. It is possible that the Universal rights to Hulk has already been resolved, just and we aren't aware of it. Universal has no interest in making a solo Hulk film, nor does Disney have any really interest in working with them on something like
that. Yeah, I'd seen somebody, I think on Reddit, had found in the SEC filings that there was some language with Universal that it like matched the original Paramount deal, which that their terms of the deal were to go until for distribution rights were until 2023 in that original deal. And the Universal one said, like, essentially said the language like essentially the same as the Paramount one. So people were kind of like putting two and two together to be like, oh, maybe like the time's just going to run out with Universal and Disney will get those distribution rights.
Yeah. I really hope that this is set for theaters like the day after that expires.
That would probably, yeah. Nope. It's possible, but yeah.
Episode 170 of Comics and Cinema on World War Hulk. I'm going to need to go get on that. But Kevin, did it work for you how they changed her origin? I mean, it just feels dirty anyway. If somebody's blood getting into your blood, like that's not a good thing anyway.
Yeah.
But it has immediate effect on Jennifer.
Yeah, I thought it was a great change. And like you said, it is different from the comics, and as we touched on last week, it in the comics it was based on she got shot in a mob hit, and then Bruce is the only one there, so he has to give her his blood. And in the comics, it's essentially like he like in the moment he's like, oh, I forget I'm a big Hulk, and like, here, let me give you my blood to save you. Here it's less, it gives less of like Bruce isn't trying to give her his blood, it just like happens by accident. So
he's even like fully aware of what's happening. He says, I'm bleeding, get away from me.
Yeah, so it's less of a guilt thing happening there, like that you would think like, oh, I did this to you, you know. It's like, it was, oh, it was more of an accident, now we're gonna get past it and move on and stuff. But so it still kept most of the elements but made it a lot more streamlined, and I thought it was great. And especially it was great just seeing her transform right there, and then you see the glimpse in the car door, you know. That was really cool. And before we actually saw She-Hulk.
And it makes a ton of sense how, if you're like, how would Bruce Banner ever bleed? Like, wouldn't he just turn into the Hulk when something like that happens? Well, he's got this device that completely prevents that from happening. Mm-hmm. Like, it honestly makes a ton of sense in a comic book world that we live in. Robert, did it work for you, changing the origin?
Yeah, I thought it was fine, because like kind of like what Kevin was saying, you know, how you would know beforehand if he's got radioactive blood, like donating blood to her would probably kill her. He doesn't know that she's got antibodies to synthesize his blood. So it works.
Yeah, we've seen Bruce Banner bleed basically twice, and one ended up in a bottle of soda and one ended up in her arm. I mean, a little convenient how she cut her arm getting out of the car, but I mean, you got to tell that story. She can't become She-Hulk without it. Jaylen, worked for you too, I assume?
Yeah, I mean, I'm
background.
Yeah, I don't know the comics, so this worked for me. Like Kevin said, I liked how you saw her transition kind of right away, and it, you know, didn't happen, you know, days later or something like that.
It happens immediately. Which is cool. I mean, you only see her reflection in the car door. I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just that whole, she has to work super, super hard to rip that door off of the car. Like, kind of shows you just how far she comes when she's the Hulk. I mean, it kind of lays that groundwork, especially when she sits in the Jeep and has to scoot the seat all the way forward. She's tiny. Like, she's 5'4", I think was what I saw. So like Tatiana Maslany, not exactly big, but they change her into a 6'7" She-Hulk, and she does a really good job in both of those roles. When we meet Hulk in Avengers Endgame, he says he spent all that time in the blip putting the brains and the brawn together. I didn't think we would see the actual lab where that happened. I think that's really neat. And Kevin, this is what you were talking about, calling back to the MCU, all those Tony Stark references, seeing Tony's initials carved into the bar. We get the scene later on where Hulk says, like, Tony just sat around, mostly drank and complained about Steve. Tony Stark loves Steve Rogers. They are still making that very, very clear, even in a post-Endgame world, a post-Tony Stark world. They tear at the heartstrings when they say, when Hulk says he would joke always that he would come back and take his lab back. Like, it really shows you like the finances of the Avengers. Like, we dealt with the weird finances in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Now we're talking about Tony Stark kept everything financially running. Like, it just worked well. It just played in that world really, really well. Jaylen, what did you make of this of this lab, this house, other than the fact that you want to live there.
Yeah, I said that to Kara. We both were like, yeah, let's go move to this beach. It looks super gorgeous and relaxing. I loved all the callbacks. When she wakes up and is walking through the house and sees the helmet and you kind of hear like the Avengers theme playing, like that gets you choked up. You see Hulk's helmet from Ragnarok in the background. Just all these little callbacks.
Kevin, who's the composer of She-Hulk?
Amy Doherty, I believe. Yeah, I believe she's an Irish.
Apologize to put you on the spot there, but she did a great job in this episode.
Yeah, it's because we ended on the Eve song, I feel like we didn't really get the theme yet. If you listen to the full end credits, like I think her like show theme is there, but like I want to just see those end credits with like her theme and like so I can hear it and like understand it a little bit better. But yes,
we also haven't gotten a She-Hulk title card yet either. And with this show being very aware that it is a show, I feel like
not at the beginning, but at the end we got one. It was like painted. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got it at the end, but like I do feel like this show will set up like this feels like a good moment for a title of the show or something.
Oh yeah.
Something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So Robert, how about you? Did you enjoy all the MCU tie-ins and just seeing Hulk in his element?
Yeah, I did. It's nice to see, like, first of all, it's nice to see Bruce Banner again. So it was nice to get all them callbacks.
We get the first official name of Smart Hulk. He was kind of marketed as such, but he's not Professor Hulk. He's Smart Hulk. He doesn't get to pick his name. I feel like that's hinting at something. There's even been things in the trailer of like Ms. Marvel style, like, don't call me. I don't like that name or something like that. I mean, that really felt like a callback to Ms. Marvel of you don't get to pick these names. She calls him Smug Hulk and then don't lawyer me. Like you used it. Like you clearly like it or you believe it or whatever. But I do like that Hulk has a soft side to him when she says, just put on a Pixar movie. And she brings up Bing Bong when Bing Bong jumps out of the wagon. And when Hulk touches his heart and he says, oh, Bing Bong. I love it. I love it so much. Inside Out is my favorite Pixar film. Jalen, you're nodding along. The Bing Bong thing gets you too, huh?
It does. Oh, that moment. Anytime I watch it, I'm just bawling. It's so sad. Pixar knows how to make you cry. And clearly Marvel does too now.
Yeah, they're getting pretty good at it. Well, Kevin, we're going to go to you on this. We get the training montage. I feel like it was undercut quite a bit because most of it we saw in the trailers and stuff leading up to it, especially like that yoga thing. Had we not seen her kind of balancing on one hand and giving the thumbs up, I feel like it would have been a lot more fun. We finally saw the middle finger she gave Hulk without it being blurred out. But the training montage was fun. But do you agree that it was a bit undercut?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because I mean, it's that the whole thing of like, okay, it's the first episode, so it's obviously the episode that in theory is going to have the most CGI done. And then, so it's like, okay, so we can populate the trailer with all this done CGI, you know? So it's like that, it's that situation that they have to be in. But yeah, it was still fun to see it all. And I mean, I really liked the moment when they're like leaping and then she's like, man, and like she's like, say, or like whatever, like doing that and stuff. And I thought they had a really great, especially seeing him get more and more jealous of how fast she was just,
he launches a boulder into orbit.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, it's like I just wanted to show you that I could do it or whatever and everything. So yeah, it was fun. It was great. And and then at the beginning of it though, when she's in the machine, it was great when she gets out and he's like talking to or trying to approaching her like a horse. He's like, what? And then she's like, why are you talking to me like a horse? And he's like, Jen. And you know, that was a great little bit that they did.
Yeah, right after that, Robert, what do you think of this? He says, like, you don't feel like there's anybody with a hand on the wheel at all. She kind of hesitates. Like, do you think that Jen's fully in control, or do you think that she's kind of hiding something here?
No, I think she's in control, because you got to think about something like this, man. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, speak for everybody, but I know a lot of, like, women that I've grown up with have to deal with their emotions a certain type of way, so they have to draw a fine line. They just have to put on a good face, so they have to, like, you know, they can be angry but they have to keep composure. So she's had real good composure to where Bruce Banner doesn't have any. So when you get angry, you become a different person. He does, but she doesn't. She gets angry, but she still has to put on a good face. She still has to be nice, you know, for protection, for all kind of different things. So for her, it's easy because she knows how to deal with her anger already. Like, he doesn't. He has to learn how to do it. She already knows how. So it's easy for her to transition to being a Hulk. So that's it for her.
She gives voice to that several times throughout the episode. We didn't talk about it, but that scene in the bar when the four girls walk in and everybody offers her shoes and her phone and all that kind of stuff. Absolutely hilarious. I really enjoyed that. She hesitated in that spot. And I was like, is there something she's not saying? But I mean, I guess even though she vocalized it multiple times to what you're saying, Robert, like, I still didn't quite grasp it, but I guess I didn't think about it that way. So that's pretty interesting. Jalen, you were nodding along. It seemed like you agree with Robert's assessment there.
I do. I mean, and she goes on, she gives that little speech to Bruce, you know, where you have to try to not act angry when a man is trying to explain my field of expertise to me, or, you know, she goes through all this whole list. So that's something women, we have to deal with all the time. Right. Listen to Nerdy Girls After Dark mansplaining episode and you'll get more on it.
See, so Jalen, she gets mad and she turns into the Hulk and
she can control it.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
You're not going to get me, Brian.
I'm just trying to be. I do love the part where he pushes her off the cliff and she just jerk move. And he's like, completely, like, he just, yeah. Yep, you're right. And that leads us to, she's storming out. She's done. She doesn't want to deal with it. She's outgrown the binder. We get the Hulk versus Hulk fight. We haven't seen it quite like this since, I guess, against Veronica versus Hulk in Avengers Age of Ultron. He fought somebody his own size at the beginning of Infinity War, and that didn't turn out so great. But Smart Hulk versus She-Hulk, it kind of gave us some of those classic Hulk moves from the comics of the slap and all the ground pound, like all that kind of stuff. Kevin, what did you make of Smart Hulk versus She-Hulk? Honestly, it went on a little longer than I expected it to go on.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good because, like you said, it was great to see the force clap come back. Cause I don't think we've seen that since Incredible Hulk, honestly, I think.
Yep. I think it was, in the streets of Harlem, right? It was the last time I saw it.
Yeah, so that was really cool. And, like, the whole time, it's like, they're, like, going at each other because they've been at each other's throats here, but, like, it still wasn't, like, you know, like, I'm trying to, like, actually hurt you kind of way or whatever, but especially because by the end, the fact when they land in the bar and he's just like, my bar! You broke my bar! It's like, you're gonna fix it! Like, that was just a great, you're fix it! Like, that was just a great delivery, and yeah, I thought it was a good way to show how much She-Hulk can be Hulk's equal. Like, she was, like, dragging him and picking him up and tossing him around and everything. So, like, I think we saw less of that in the trailer. So that was a fun surprise to see, like, as much as what she did against him and everything. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Something I never picked up on in the trailer, which was super noticeable when we watched it, is when she's on the beach and she screams, the I Heart Mexico t-shirt that she's wearing. Yeah. I never picked up on it in the trailer. It's just kind of funny now. But, like, for me, it establishes Hulk, Smart Hulk, as still Bruce doesn't have everything under control. Like, he should be able to contain his anger at this point, knowing what she's gone through, and he still just can't contain some of his anger. But it also shows how good of a job he did in the lab, because, like, he can still remain Smart Hulk while still very, very angry. He doesn't revert to, like, the other guy, for lack of a better term. So it shows both character progression and still a ways to go for the character Bruce Banner, which I actually really, really liked. It did say in the credits that it was a special appearance by Mark Ruffalo. I think we're done. Maybe until the finale, we may see him another time or two, but I would not expect for you guys to, or for anybody, you guys too, but I wouldn't expect to see Hulk again. Does anybody else have an expectation to see him more regularly?
No, I mean, I think this is good. I enjoyed what we got from him. And yeah, I mean, I won't be upset if this is it. Oh, no, I was just gonna say, I won't be upset if this is all we get.
Yeah, he was great, man. He was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting him to pop up every week, but I mean, I think we'll see maybe one or two more times. I think, you know, like, to me, the special appearance, I just remember, I'm just thinking to other ones like Linda Cardellini in Hawkeye. Like, she got it, and what did she appear? That's 6 episodes, but she appeared like 2 or 3 times, I think, and they were like very minor. And I always look at it, at least in the TV sense of the, if you look on the movies, they always have the with whoever and whatever, you know, it's just like the special person who's like been a starring person in the MCU. So I don't think he'll be here every week, but I think maybe at least one or two more times I would imagine would, and then that would be fine for me.
Robert, how about you? Did you enjoy the Smart Hulk versus She-Hulk fight?
Yeah, I did. It was fun.
Hit her throwing surfboards at his head, her launching the coconuts at his head. His glasses actually held up.
Yeah,
they probably should have.
Yeah, the CG was good, like showing his emotion, like he's getting tired of, like, he's trying to. He's not trying to go at her real hard, but after a while he gets annoyed, you know, like with the coconuts and everything. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Maya says she cannot wait for Meg Thee Stallion to make her appearance. We don't know like that's official.
Yeah.
There's some strong rumors behind it, and I feel like Maya's heart's gonna be broken if it doesn't happen. Kind of like Kevin's heart's gonna be broken and his inbox full of hate mail if Kevin Feige doesn't show up. But Matt, that surprises him. Meg's gonna be in She-Hulk. So I mean, again, Kevin Feige said you don't know who's gonna pop up. You would assume that meant somebody like Daredevil, but maybe it means Megan Thee Stallion for some. So that's fair.
Rickhouse Stallion, they had Eve at the end, right? The music.
Yep.
Yeah, it was Eve. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Well, we go back to the real world. We're breaking the fourth wall again. She treats us like we're one of the family. Nikki knows, her parents know, Bruce knows, and now we know. She says, "You know." So that's kind of where we're at. We go to the courthouse.
Lawyer show.
If you listen to what the lawyer's closing argument is on the other side, it is hilarious. He goes, "Did he know that he was killing other people?" And then the line is, "That depends on your definition of knowledge." It is so funny. If you can't hear it, turn on the subtitles. It's hilarious the way this guy's talking around getting whoever we assume to be very guilty off of whatever they're being accused of. I don't even know if we'll ever find out, honestly. But the way they introduce that Eve song of "Who's That Girl?" and then they cut it where she says she's ready to make her closing argument, and then they go right back into the credits. I thought it was well done. But Robert, I'm going to come to you on this. What was not well done in this episode, at least in my opinion, and I think in your opinion, was everything involving Jameela Jamil's Titania. It didn't look stellar.
No, it looked trash. Sorry. You know, it was bad, dude. Like that kick, and that was some old Liu Kang Super Nintendo Mortal Kombat garbage. Sorry.
Finish him. Yeah, the kick was very drawn out. I mean, it was I think it was supposed to be a little bit silly, but it was too silly. Jamil giving Kristen Wiig from Wonder Woman 84 vibes. That's not a compliment. Some would say that
Jalen would be a compliment.
Fire, yeah. Uh-huh.
Hey, I'm taking it back a little bit.
That movie's so bad. That movie is so bad. I know Fant Four Stick won our worst comic book movie. I can't remember how far Wonder Woman 84, but it didn't. If it didn't win, it didn't go far enough. Kevin, did anything? I'm still excited for Jameela Jamil's Titania. I think she's a brilliant actress. I think she's funny. I really like her on The Good Place. But this is an odd introduction, if you will.
Yeah, it felt very out of place. It just was like obviously it was supposed to be a, like, I feel like a better ending potentially would have been just her busting through, like we were saying before, in like the Kool-Aid Man, like having her just come through and then like you see like Jen look at her and like maybe that's Jen transforms and then we like end there, you know. But like the whole like, but then continuing
in you need the payoff of her transforming and putting her shoes back on. That's the best part.
That's true. Yeah, but yeah, so it just, yeah, it was, I think, because I've watched it a couple times, and I think for me, it was a lot of, like, just the way it was edited, like, it just was, like, very weird cuts of, like, to what was happening, and it felt very, like, jumpy, and, like, and different things, so, like, I don't know if they were trying to get around the, the CGI of She-Hulk or what, say, I you know, feel like but,
that's where the CGI budget maybe got cut back a little bit.
Yeah, like they cut around it a little bit, but yeah, so it was just, it was not, I, like you said, I am excited to see her and what she's going to do, because she is slight, oh, kind of different from how she's in the comics. So I want to see what they're doing with her, but it was just, it was just weird overall. And hopefully if she's in next week's episode, we'll get a little bit better. So.
Yeah, I mean, she's billed as one of the main characters in the right. show. Like, she was involved. Like, we haven't seen the last of Titania, even though she's clearly been captured once because she was trying to escape from the courthouse. And again, she's now captured again. So we'll see. Matt says that Jameela Jamil was great on Films to Be Buried With. I don't know that one at all. She's giving Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah, again, not a super strong endorsement.
Isn't that a podcast? Isn't that Roy Kent's podcast?
Maybe.
I feel like that's Brett Goldstein's podcast.
He's here.
Or it could be an actual movie, too.
He's there. He's every bleeping where. Jalen, what did you make of Titania? I mean, it didn't ruin the episode for any of us, but no. You weren't blown away with it either, huh?
Wasn't blown away, but I'm just excited to see more of her. I can't wait to see her in that pink jumpsuit from the trailers, because that was a fire outfit. And so I want to see more of that.
We still have a lot to look forward to. We have not even had a mention of Emil Blonsky. We do know Wong is in this show. We do know Charlie Cox's Daredevil is in this show. Still a lot to come, but I think Marvel made the right choice of moving this introduction. It gets the casual fan in with the character of Bruce Banner and Hulk, because if you made him wait 2 months, I think most people would have tapped out. So I think this is going to get people to buy in a lot better. But Jalen, you're wearing a shirt for a reason. Steve's Dirty Laundry gets aired. Captain America.
Language.
Hilarious. Means so nothing funny. To anything other than I've seen a ton of arguments that it ruins Steve and Peggy's relationship. Like, get over it, people. It's a funny scene. Mm-hmm. It made you laugh. I guarantee it made you laugh. It was funny.
Yep. That's all its purpose was to make us laugh. You know, just something funny about Steve, because, you know, everyone's thinking he's just this pure guy. And now we know more about him. And I just like that. How she played it off, how she acted like she was drunk just to get Bruce to spill.
She's done that a few times. I don't understand why she was hungover. Like, I guess she was just her normal self. If she'd transformed into the Hulk, she would have been fine. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't understand that. It's the same way I laughed out loud when Natasha used to sing me a lullaby. Yeah, can you explain that? I can't explain it. I thought that was great. Robert, what did you make of this quote unquote post credit scene? At least it made you laugh, I assume.
Yeah, it was funny. yeah, I mean, you think about it, dude. Like, he when he got all yoked in the army, of course he was probably freaking knocking stuff down. Why not?
Everybody has made the assumption that they figured out the girl. In my opinion, I think it should have been Marjorie Tyrell, but he got his kiss interrupted with her when Peggy went to shoot him. So I mean, it probably is that other girl who, why do people keep calling her Star-Lord's grandma? I guess it's the same actress, right? Yeah, okay. So it's the same actress. All right. I guess fair enough. Kevin, made you laugh. That's all it needed to do, right?
Yeah, it was so good. I read afterwards that they were originally going to be the episode 9 post-credit, the last one of the series. The very end, because, or the second to last, at least, because they were going to seed this, like, it was like the, like what we saw in the courtroom drawings of like her with the whiteboard or whatever, like you were going to like see glimpses of that through like each of the episodes. Like, this is the thing that's nagging at Jennifer Walters. this is her purpose in life, of like finding this answer of like, was Captain America a virgin? And like that, but then they just like condensed it all to this episode and the post credit. And I think it's great. It's like, just start us off with a bang. No pun intended, and just like,
I hope it continues somehow. Like, if you even look at the drawings in the credits, like ahead of time, she's got like this whole dry erase board of Steve Rogers virgin ? She's got Charlie from Always Sunny, like, vibes with yarn and like, but it's funny, man. Like, I it was funny. I don't care. He's my favorite character. It doesn't matter. He still loves Peggy Carter. I know Maya is what it is. Kara, of course, loved it. She likes that he knew Bruce well because Kara is all about friendship, always has been. Jalen, any last minute things on She-Hulk?
I like the callback of everything we got with Bruce and Tony, because we got to see Bruce grieve his friendship with Tony. Like, there's no more science bros. And so we got to see that, you know,
his grieving. I like that he has that helmet on display, the Iron Man helmet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows what else he took from Tony or what Tony gave him and right. stuff. So, I like that. I thought, you know, it makes you sad because we don't have these characters anymore, but I like that we still get these callbacks, you know, just like with Hawkeye, how we got to see him grieve Natasha. We get this with Tony, because I feel like there's still not closure with any of these characters we've lost. So anytime we can have some sort of callback with them, I'm here for it.
I'm going to be honest. If you don't feel like you have closure with Tony Stark, it's probably never coming, because I think they wrapped that one up pretty well.
You. More Natasha.
I'm not telling you how to grieve. let me be very clear about that. Robert, any last minute things with She-Hulk?
I enjoyed it. I think it's gonna get better from here. Just hopefully they do better with the fight scenes. That's it.
I would expect there to be a lot more fight scenes. I think they can do it, because the Hulk versus Smart Hulk, or She-Hulk versus Smart Hulk fight was really good. That was good. Right. And you obviously had to have that one land. Like, this one you didn't have to have land quite the same way, because we all still have positive things to say about it, but it was a little bit silly. But we don't know like what Titania's like official powers are yet either, so we'll probably figure that out. Kevin, how about you?
Yeah, I just looking forward to episode 2 this week, and I'm kind of bummed that they're on Thursdays now, because I can be like, oh, when we hit the weekend, I'm like, oh, we're Wednesday, new, and it's like, no, now it's Thursday, and it's like, I gotta think if it's like the next weekend, and it's just like, oh, it's just feels too far away now. So yeah, excited for episode 2.
Yeah, for whatever reason, except for WandaVision, I think I watched this premiere more than any other Disney Plus premiere. It's just kind of, I had not a lot going on at work or whatever it was. It's just kind of how it worked out. But I've seen it like 6 or 7 times at this point. So I've really enjoyed it. Yep, the Thursday drops are going to be a little bit weird, but when Andor comes out, that'll help us fill our Wednesdays, at least the three of us. Jalen, maybe not so much. But regardless, we've got more coming. We've got 8 more weeks of this episode. For those a fan of Earth's Mightiest Weirdos from the beginning, I had a conversation with Mr. Mark Adams today. He's going to be coming on to talk about She-Hulk in the next coming weeks as well. And it is Mark Adams's birthday. So, Mark, if you're listening, happy birthday. It's my birthday! Jalen, what's going on at Nerdy Girls After Dark?
If you thought last week was chaos, just wait till this week. We'll bring even more chaos.
In the form of?
Not telling. It's a surprise.
Is it a surprise to you guys?
Yeah. Maybe. All
right. I just wanted to get you to it.
We have conversations, but we need to finalize the conversations. All we know is it's going to be chaotic again.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Robert, how about you? What's going on in your world?
Not much. House renovation.
House renovation. That'll take up your time. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, anything you need to plug?
Yeah, tomorrow night on Comics and Cinema, Alex is doing his monthly comics reviews, and we're unsurprisingly going to be talking about She-Hulk. I'll be joining him over there as well as our good friend Sarah from the Nerdy Girls and the Nerd Emporium. So come check us out tomorrow if you want to hear some more about the comic storylines of She-Hulk, doing a deep dive there. And then since we do have one episode of the series under our belt, we'll see how things are similar or different, like what's going on between the similarities and differences. So it should be a fun time.
Maya says in the comments, I wonder why that is. I don't know what I said that sparked that specifically. It might just be poking fun at Jalen a little bit. But the Nerdy Girls After Dark last week, that 90s movies bracket, absolute disaster. And it was a blast to be a part of. So I'm just going to say it out loud now so people know. It has been discussed of doing a Disney songs bracket. And I have already put my name in the hat for that one, because that would be a really fun bracket. So
yeah, we talked about that, and we talked about it doing two shows. So
it would almost need to be so you
like
can get
a 64 bracket, yeah. But split up.
I mean, I put my thought down of like, oh, you should do that, and I was like, yeah, it needs to be 64. I have my thoughts on how that has to be, but you guys have my know how to contact me. Get me, well, let's get in touch.
10 things I hate about you was wrong.
Bug's life for life.
She's so mad.
Bug's life for life.
Bug's life beat 10 things I hate about you. And then I stopped caring because I voted for Bug's life. And if Kara was going to be mad, then it all worked out. Like if she was going to be mad, I was going to be mad. Everybody's going to be mad.
Well, what's funny is the movie that won, that's like none of our favorites. Like, we all like Mulan, but
except Kara gave an impassioned speech about Mulan. It was just because it was up against Jurassic Park, and she doesn't. Like... Oh, Maya says, "Why I watched it 6 to 7 times." I'll say it publicly. She-Hulk's hot, man.
It's true.
I'm not getting weird about it. I'm just saying that's not why I watched it 6 to 7 times. But
really good CG, huh, Brian?
That's some good CGI, man. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Until next week, I guess She-Hulk doesn't really have a sign-off. So until then, we'll just go with Lawyer Show.
Earth's Mightiest Weirdos is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love travel understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time.